Jai Om Vishnu Padma Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Sri Bhakti Ranjan Madhusudan Maharaj Ki Jai. Srimati Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi Ki Jai. Seva Vrinda Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande.
Jai Srila Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Dhanavad. So, Hare Krishna. There still may be someone who is unacquainted with Srila Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj. So if I say a few words of introduction, we did this before, but there could still be those who are unaware. But his senior godbrother, dear disciple of Om Vishnu Pachvalesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, appointed by Prabhupada, lifetime GBC. That means you're still GBC, actually. Yeah. And he took sannyas in 1971?
72.
At the Radha Damodar Temple, Jiva Goswami's Radha Damodar Temple in Vrindavan, between. Now, I don't know how that could happen, but in those days it was still open. So there's Rupa Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and Samadhi, and that's where Srila Prabhupada gave him sannyas. So that's extraordinary. later he came to the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, who gave him the sannyas mantram, as Guru Maharaj heard from Saraswati Thakur, because Guru Maharaj is the sannyas guru of Keshava Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, and others. And Keshava Maharaj initiated Prabhupada. But so Guru Maharaj, he's still guru in that context. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, I was just reading it the other day where he said, if you want to have a Shiksha guru, you have to go to someone who's competent to act as Shiksha guru. He said, the only person I can recommend is my godbrother, Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami. He said, who is the most competent of all my godbrothers, and I accept him as my Shiksha Guru. So what to speak of the benefit that you can have. But he's revealing something to his disciple, saying, it's not I'm just advising you. I accept him as my Shiksha Guru. And lest someone think that was some sort of flattery or politeness, there's no other recorded instance of Prabhupada saying that, written, recorded, or otherwise. So it's something from the heart, genuine, that he expressed towards Srila Guru Maharaj. So Srila Janardhan Maharaj, recognizing that in Srila Guru Maharaj, in the aftermath of the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, took full shelter at his lotus feet. I was witness. And Guru Maharaj gave him the name Bhakti Pavan Janardhan Maharaj. Very beautiful name, and Maharaj can explain that if he chooses to. But, and then in the aftermath of the disappearance of Srila Guru Maharaj, he became more and more intimately connected with Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. So much so as Gurudev would describe Janardhan Maharaj, he'd say, like, he is my best friend. With something I go like, oh.
He said that about other people.
No, but he said it about you more than one. And I want, we're talking, and Yudhamanya Prabhu, and maybe Maharaj will also say something. So I was telling that to Yudhamanya Prabhu once, and he smiled, little Shivas, and he said, but he said, I'm his most dear friend. And I thought, Gurudev is the master of, like, how to, like, flatter someone to apparently the maximum degree and then do it again with another, when he saw another person might have felt a little slight, he could, like, do it again. And both people would be happy. So, very dear to Srila Gurudev, and Gurudev considered him extremely reliable And he said he was already Acharya before his passing Guru. He is already Acharya and Guru, but I'm also recognizing him, that is the Acharya in California and the United States, and not limited to there. Maharaj, he's fluent in Spanish and for many years preached, particularly in Mexico. And we all met Pitambar Prabhu last time around, the French Mexican, or the Mexican Frenchman. and he was appreciated very much by all the devotees. But he has a center there in Guadalajara, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Because Ashram Maharaj's hometown is Monterrey, right? Monterrey, that's his hometown. So Guadalajara, Pitambar, and Maharaj visits Mexico regularly, but he preached all over India. His first 4 years of Krishna consciousness were in India, if you think about that, those who've spent some time in India. And this wasn't like my India's great India, you know, like the bumper stickers. This was India in the early 1970s. So it was rough, you know. And the devotees there were kind of like, it was like the Wild West, a little bit. But so Maharaj spent much time preaching in India. That's where we first met, in Calcutta. 1973-74, Tamal Krishna Maharaj brought us together. Because one of Tamal Krishna Maharaj's saying, he was our beloved senior godbrother and manager and leader, and he'd say, if he wanted you to really embrace some seva and to give everything you had to it, he'd say, there's only two people I trust to do this, myself and you. And right now, I'm busy. What are you saying? There's only two people in the world I would trust to do that, me and you. And right now, I'm busy.
You know who typified the Wild West atmosphere of India? Pushkar.
Oh, yeah. Yes. The golden voice, or the mouth, as he was sometimes known.
Yeah, he was a very good artist, too.
Yeah, he's a fantastic, I'm his biggest fan of his art. But he would also speak truth to power, we can say. He did not hesitate to speak truth to power. So anyway, that's my introduction for this time, I think.
Okay, and, so you said... I could say what my name meant.
What Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Pavan Janardhan.
Yeah, well, Govinda Maharaj said, this means that one who tells the people about, one who gives people the Ragmarg conception of Krishna. That's what he said.
Hare Krishna. That's how he's saving them. Mm.
Uh-huh. And about Yudhamanyu, Seva Vikram, this time, just a few weeks ago, I went to Chongqing, China, for Yudhamanyu's, last, you could say, his cremation and everything. And people flew from all over, not just all over China, but also from Thailand. I was on the plane with Devi Rani.
Uh-huh. And Jamuna came from here.
Jamuna came. Devotees came from everywhere. There were over 50 devotees who came for, and a very sad scene. You know, a lot of crying and I don't know. I was there, and certainly I shed before some tears about Yudhimanyu's passing away. But when I was there, I was kind of able, I saw that I had to keep the devotees, keep my composure and give them some, you know, someone to give them some shelter. And Sita was very emotional, and I told her, look, Sita, you're our leader. You have to be strong. So it was nice to be able to see that many devotees in one place, all Chinese devotees. And I thought, a fitting tribute to Yudhimanyu Seva Vikram. And he has worked in China.
And they were the people whose lives he had forever changed, and of course for the better, brought them in connection with Krishna consciousness over 13 years.
Yeah.
Some people from the very beginning and throughout.
And yes, these were people whose lives he changed, and I would say, we're all very much brought into Krishna consciousness and firm in their Krishna consciousness as a result of having heard from him. So he transmitted affection to them, and they explained how he wrote their papers, helped them in college and everything. And someone asked him, someone said, in China, when there's only for so long one child in a family, and there's so much weight on the person to succeed, and you were in school, and you're giving them marks and everything.
Grades.
Yeah, and they said giving them grades, and there's so much pressure on them. How did you handle it? And he said, I always gave them good grades.
He didn't fail anyone.
Yeah, he gave them good grades, and he said when he first got to, I guess it was Chengdu, the first thing he did is he wrote on the blackboard, "Party today in my house, in my place," and he put his phone number there, and the faculty was incredulous. They said, "You gave your phone number to the students," and that party in his house was because it was Radharani's
appearance. Radhastami, all right. Oh.
Like this is his.
I remember he sent pictures of that to Gurudev.
Yeah. And I'd work with him, and, sometimes, we'd have our moments, but, if he felt you were overstepping him a little bit, he'd say to you, "What am I, a potted plant?" And things like that. And a very wonderful person, we've talked about him in the past, so that was preluding me going to India and then in the Gaur Purnima festival. And
Navadip Dham Parikrama. Yeah.
One of the reasons I also like the Navadip Dham Parikrama is because I feel when I'm in California, Gaur Purnima lasts a day, and it's even late in the day at that because, the programs comes in the evening because of Mahaprabhu's appearing at,
Moonrise.
But in Navadvip, the program lasts for a long time, at least 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, like that. Sometimes if you want to count, Nityananda's appearance and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's appearance, you could say it lasts for almost a month. But at least with the intensity of the pilgrims, say at least 8 days, or you could say more, it's from the Adibas, then you have the Ekadasi.
The Adibas of the Parikrama.
Parikramas. Then you have the first day of Parikramas on Ekadasi, and then the second, third, and then the fifth day is Gaur Purnima, then the sixth day is the Jagannath Mishra Mahotsav, and then So that then 4 days later is Pancham Do, and that's the Hapaniya festival. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about 10 days, you know, and, or maybe, yeah, 10 days. And so that's, and it's 10 very kind of like everyone's very emotionally involved. So I always like to be in Gaur Purnima because I feel like Gaur Purnima is the place to be is in Namadeep Dham, and especially with, you know, with Govinda Maharaj and Guru Maharaj. Like Govinda Maharaj told me, he told me, when you come here, you know, don't come for less than a month. So I would always go with Gurudev for a month. So anyway, it's very, very wonderful to have participated in the Gaur Purnima Festival. I mean, I really feel that for me, it's just, it's a very rewarding thing to be able to participate in. And so now I'm on my way back to California and programs that we have there. We have, although it's a, we have one program where it's a dance recital coming up. We have one
tomorrow. Maharaj is an excellent dancer.
Right. It's, there's a devotee, her name is Sun, what is her name? Sangeeta.
That's a good name for a dancer or singer.
Yes.
Sangeeta.
And she teaches dancing. And the whole proceeds from it's program with her students, and she involves some of the devotees. She involved like maybe you know her because she's been here, Jairam's daughter, Lavanika. Little, you know, Jairam and Maheshwari, and they have a daughter.
Oh, the Indian couple.
Yeah, they've been here several times.
Huh?
Jairam and Abha, not
Maheshwari. Oh, yeah, Jairam and Abha. I'm mixing up Sandeep. Jairam and Abha. And they have a daughter.
He has this little boy who plays the mridanga?
Yeah, Nob.
Who's probably not
Nob,
so little.
And his daughters, Lavanika. Lavanika was in the dance program. And anyway, they charge tickets for that. And most of the ticket buyers are people related with the school and everything. But they bring in some decent amount from that. And she donates it to the temple. So. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go to the program and I go at halftime or whatever it's called.
Intermission.
Halftime. I go up on the stage and I give my blessings to the people and after the program to the dancers and everything. So that's a nice, it's a nice proceed. And then we have a Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Govinda Maharaj. So we have a program at that samadhi on Govinda Maharaj's
disappearance
day, which I think is, what is it, on the 8th or the 7th?
Of April.
8th of April.
This year.
So I mean, that's the programs I'm going back to.
Once when I was leaving the mat, like, you know, and you have to, we'd say goodbye to Guru Maharaj. It seems like a dream now, but you know, Guru Maharaj would embrace you, give you Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's garland from his room, his, you know. And when I was leaving, Guru Maharaj said, and I remember I'm going to California, and actually like Silicon Valley, to be more specific. And Guru Maharaj said, now you're going to some remote corner of the world. And I was thinking, I'm going to California. You know, so he goes, our Goswami Maharaj is going to some remote, like I'm going in the Foreign Legion service to some really remote. And I thought, and Guru Maharaj could see my face, was I suddenly realizing, yes, what he's saying is true. And he said about Navadvip, he said, this is your home. And now we're like giving you permission to go preaching in this remote corner of the world, and then you'll come back. And I thought, well, that's a very nice way to see it. And it's also real. I'm saying, why should I think, because America is the center of the universe, and I'm in Navadvip, and I'm saying, Navadvip, India, that's the remote corner of the world, and I'm going to America. No, the fact is, as we know from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and as Navadvip Dham Mahatmyam Jiva Dharma, they're similar, we'll say, you know, like in the universe, there's the, what is it, you know, Bhu Mandala, and like the earthly planetary systems within there. There's, it's ironically, science says the Earth is special. It really is. Of course, not exactly the way they think, but it is unique. So you're saying the Earth planet is unique. And then there are the different Varshas of the Earth planet. Ilavata Varsha is the primary one. That's where India is located. Within India, there are so many holy places. But of all those holy places, then there, you know, there's Vrindavan in Bengal. But Bengal is even more exalted because it's there in Navadvip and Mayapur that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. It's going in this sequential way to tell you this is the ultimate place. And of course, as what we were doing with Madhusudan Maharaj every morning, reading Navadvip Dham Mahatmyam. So I was saying, we're having like a digital parikrama. You know, so every day we could at least, you know, because we're not, in spirit, study this. And like we're going to, and he can mention the places too, because the way the book plays out sequentially is not always the same exact in the movements, but you can mention both. But really, Guru Maharaj said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving the topography. You know what that means, right? You do topographical or cartography means, you know, like an aerial view of Navadvip. It's very interesting. He's saying that's what he's doing. He's giving you the aerial view. Here are all these places, and here's why they're significant. And then what you read there is astonishing. And you realize major events have been taking place in Navadvip for millions of years. Not we 500 years ago, Mahaprabhu, and that's in Chaitanya Bhagavat and Charitamritam. But in Navadvip Dham Mahatmyam, we're hearing in previous yugas and millions of years ago, certain things took place here when Nrisimhadev going after having killed Hiranyakashipu, and he's flying with the devatas, and he decides to situate himself where there's a central place surrounded by many hills. So one of the names is Devapoli, was one of the local names for it, because gods on the different hills, they sat in praise of Nrisimhadev, and now it's most commonly referred to as Nrisimhapoli, but it was also Devapoli. And then from there, the breeze, Bhaktivinoda Thakur feels, coming through Srup Ganj, it's Nrisimhadev going to Mangal Arati at the Yog Pit, and all those things. But then, so I thought, yeah, what Guru Maharaj is saying, of course it's right. I'm going to a remote corner of the world. And this is the central conception.
Yeah, when sometimes in California, one of the senior devotees would say to me, well, aren't you observing Chaturmasya? You know, what you can eat and can't eat.
Yeah.
Well, you know, from a practical standpoint, I won't observe Chaturmasya because during the time of the spinach fast, they donate large quantities of spinach to the ashram. Mm-hmm. And spinach, you know, I'm not going to just throw it away or not use it because it's... But I told that person, I said, Chaturmasya, the austerities of Chaturmasya, I'm doing just by being in the West.
You put know, it back because of the
place. Yeah, because, you know, in the West, you know, you're dealing with particular mindsets of people. They're not always favorable, and you're working with them. You're teaching them. And even sometimes with the devotees in the West, you know, they have, you know, a strong independent nature, some of them, you know. I saw this difference between Mexico and America. I think this difference was, explained in a book called, I think it was called Distant Neighbors. It's about Mexico. Mm-hmm. Mexicans actually it's more pre-Columbian than it is Spanish culture. But one of the things mentioned is that in America, people will very, very often just say to you some variation of this, I just want to give you a piece of my mind. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, please, Maharaj, don't take my offense, but can I tell you something? And you know when they say that, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible. So the idea with idea in Mexico.
Don't take this in the wrong way.
The idea with, that's another lead line. But in Mexico, as it was mentioned, people, their culture, they actually have their own culture. Whereas I'd say in many ways, America doesn't have a culture. So their culture is not to speak your mind and to person if it will insult the person. Mm-hmm. They don't say, let me give you a piece of my mind or let me reveal my thoughts to you, except with one exception, when they're drunk. Then they'll tell you anything. But you know, normally their culture is very much different. Mm-hmm. I like the country. The characteristic of the country is if you say something that someone doesn't hear in Mexico, they go Monday, which means order me. That's one thing, you know. It's just a curious idiom of their of their language, and just in Mexico. And sometimes, but you know, older people or more cultured Mexicans, if you call them and you say, for instance, I'd like to speak with Don Diego or something like that. And he answers the phone, he says, su serviente, which means your servant. Mm-hmm. Means I am that person you're calling for. Uh-huh. But he says, su serviente, your servant. Uh-huh. Which is kind of like a little bit like our
the at your service.
You know, but to say to somebody, your servant.
Dashoshmi.
Yeah, it's like our culture. Yeah. It's like the culture that, you know,
we aspire to,
that mood that, who is speaking? Your servant, you know.
Also, interestingly, on that earlier point about the Chaturmasya, Guru Maharaj mentioned that Saraswati Thakur, he was staying in Puri at the Purushottam Gaudiya Math, and whatever came from the garden there, even if it was not to be taken during Chaturmasya, he said, because it was from the garden of the deities, that they would take it. I was just saying, not to dismiss that as unofferable or something you couldn't take at that time. So he exempted their garden.
So, anyway, we all have our preaching fields for so many years. Goswami Maharaj, also Lalita, they were living long periods of time in India. And then just with the general change of, let's say, climate, you know, now they are staying principally here in Thailand, which actually Srila Govinda Maharaj in his last days aspired to do. He said that he would prefer to spend his remaining days in Thailand rather than India.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, it was surprising, but
the Guru Nivas, one thing he told me, he said, he referred to his chart, but he said, I have houses all over the world, but but I cannot live in any one of them for any length of time. I will always have to move to another one. He was just observing that about himself. And I remember the time when the last in SoCal, where he stayed at least 6 months, maybe more.
Yeah, because of his heart condition. And he also told that he would come, he said he would come to live, to be in SoCal after leaving the world.
Yes.
And he even told the devotees where to put his samadhi.
Uh-huh.
So.
He also said, I'm going to visit all the centers and see what you're cooking and offering.
Yeah. And he said in SoCal, he told me, I will come here and I will sit on the branch of a tree. Which is, it sounds odd, but when I was reading, kind of like something, I think from Indian, like, writing and all that, it said that sitting on the branch of a tree, I believe, is one of the, not saying that was the case, but it's one of the attributes of a ghost.
It's like Gurudev's humor.
Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah.
So he's saying, I'll be sitting on the branch of a tree.
Yeah. And he said, he wanted to be near this particular tree, and he said, that way I can see the front, the driveway, and see who's coming up, when he would be there, he always wanted, we put him in one room that, he didn't like that room, and he moved to another room where you could see everything. He always wanted to see what was going on. He was very observant.
Like in Navadvip, also on his veranda, he kept those two windows open, and he can see, he says, where everything's going on is the kitchen and the pujari. And so he can see that. And he said, it's one of the reasons I have to go back to Calcutta. He said, I see all the wrong they're doing, and I can't tolerate it. And we say, well, then shut that. He goes, no, he make sure you opened it so he could see. But that was his observation point.
And Srila Sridhar Maharaj also, he may have been on the veranda, but he was very informed.
Yeah.
Govinda Maharaj didn't like to give him any bad news, but he was very informed of happenings that were going on in the mat.
If someone borrowed a book from the library, Guru Maharaj knew about it. And we'd wonder, how does he know that? Someone has the fourth volume of the Bhagavatam or
One time I left my passport in Kolkata, and Guru Maharaj knew about it, and he said, now you have to go back immediately and get it. But that's the whole special tone that we experienced in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mutt. From the time I got there, I couldn't leave. It was just that wonderful. I wound up there, I'll say, because of, three persons. Principally, I would say Goswami Maharaj with his center in San Jose and his books. Then I was reading the books. Another was Sagar Maharaj, because when devotees were disturbing me, from South America, he actually talked to Guru Maharaj and he defended me, even though they were more related at that time with the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mutt. And the third person was Ashram Maharaj, because I was working in Mexico, and Ashram Maharaj was very gracious to me. Once he knew that I was interested in the Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Mutt, he really went out of his way to
accommodate
me. And when I, especially after I took sannyas, And I came back to Mexico. I said that Guru Srila Sridhar Maharaj had told me, I was wondering what should I do, because I didn't know whether I'm still to work with an ISKCON or what. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj told me, he said, so once you, he put it pretty succinctly, he said, once you leave ISKCON, don't take any men, money, or property with you.
Yeah. Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Bhadra.
So, but he said that as the first sentence, first phrase was, when you leave ISKCON. So that was pretty succinct.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering, am I supposed to stay within ISKCON or not? He said, when you leave ISKCON, don't take any men, money, or property. So I was thinking, I had some disciples there, and I was thinking, okay, I'll start my own mission, and I won't take any of those men with me. And Ashram Mara said, if that's going to be your position, I won't support you, but at least you have to give them a choice. Whether they want to go with Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math or stay within ISKCON. So we had a big meeting, and he courageously went with me right into the heart of everything. We had a farm there, and there were hundreds of people there. It was a big thing. I'd, you know, taken initiation from Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And so then I told them, you know, you all joined. I'm sure you didn't join to be necessarily with me. You joined a mission. And I was the representative of the mission, so you chose to be initiated with me. But I'm freeing you from all your promises or vows to me, and you can decide what you want to do, whether you want to continue with the mission here of ISKCON, or if you knowing that I'm going with the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Math, and I can't offer you a guarantee of any facility, if you want to come with me, you can. That was the condition that Ashram Maharaj wanted to make. I mean, he didn't tell me in those words, I put it in my words, but you know, that's what he meant. And a group of maybe 18, 20 people or somewhere around there, maybe a few more went with me. And after a few months, the majority of them had left because they were no longer with their friends and no longer with the big festivals and everything and the deity worship that they were doing and knew. So many of them left. But Ashram Maharaj was a source of help. And then from Venezuela, they sent one man there named Santa Maharaj.
I remember him.
Yeah. And he came to Mexico and spent almost a year there and taught us all the songs, you know. And he chanted them very nicely. And he taught us other things like how to make our own Brahmin threads and all things like that, the correct way. So he was a jolly person. Not necessarily the most precise in sadhana, but, you know, in terms of getting up and everything like that. But a very nice, at the time, he was a very nice man, treated everyone. Was, you know, and then we had the devotees there. But I went as Goswami Maharaj was there in Navadvip presenting the search for the Lord's loving search for his lost servant to Srila Sridhar Maharaj. And that book was, to me, saw that I was reading the other books, but that book was overwhelming. Very, very beautifully, graphically, you know, illustrations were beautiful. I was told later that one printer said, nobody's making books like this anymore. This book, kind of book hasn't been made in I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
With vellum paper and right. Illustrations and everything.
We created a color. It's like a saffron, but there's like Pantone, people know Pantone mixing system, PMS colors, and there was these people, you could make your own color, and we wanted to get this one just right. It was an additional color, So we created one, you know, and they have like it written down, like how you make this color with ink.
And then it had the gold embossing on the cover with
People who did like craft or, you know, those Hallmark.
And beautiful calligraphy that you paid for the person to design.
Like the best, one of the best calligraphers in America.
So that it was, that book is, you know, anyone who has that book, it's like a, it's a one of a kind publication. We also got one unique color because although I wasn't the original compiler, when I was given the manuscript for Heart and Halo, which Tridandi, what's his name?
Tridandi Maharaj. Yeah,
he compiled it, but it was full of hundreds and hundreds of errors, and I didn't read very well. And I spent hours on the telephone with Sheila Govindamarsh, especially on the last part of the book, getting it all right, you know, because there's some very deep things revealed in the, especially in those last pages.
It's one thing to have a typographical error. It's another thing to have something be opisodontic or not properly representing what the conception is. Yes. We can tolerate a typographical error. Many books that came from India, Prabhupada's included in the beginning, and you look at any book, you'll find something like that. But if it's giving the wrong concept, that we can't tolerate.
Yeah, so it's part where it especially says, you know, that when I look closely at my guru, Gunamanjari, I see in a particular way, but if I keep myself back and more or less the idea is look at the broader vision, the panorama, there I see all the eight qualities.
Of the Astasakis.
Well, yeah.
And then deeper, Radharani.
Nobody says the eight qualities of the female heroine.
Oh, Nayika.
Astanayika. And they said, and that is Srimati Radharani, but also revealed as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was Srila Saraswati Thakur's vision. Mm-hmm. And when I first got the book, I saw that, you know, it referred to, you know, the part about Gunamanjari as being Srila Saraswati Thakur, but I knew that has to be wrong because Gunamanjari was the
Gorgeshwardas Babaji.
Yeah. So I spent hours on the phone with Govindamarsh going over that last section. The whole book. I changed the whole book around. I really feel I'm the editor of that book. But we also create, I don't know if we created or just came out that way, a very unique purple color for the cover, which Gurudev liked very much, and he said it like, you know, so that book I worked on. And then the Prapana Jivanamrita, like 7 years working on the Spanish edition. And I feel that it reads better than the English edition. Because, you know, I just wanted things to be perfect. I wanted them to read right. I mean, read properly.
So, you know, and Achyutananda Maharaj was publishing a Vyas Puja book for Prabhupada in India and Calcutta in like 1970. And he kept going to the printers with corrections. And that was unusual there. And at one point he said, the printer said to him, "What, are you trying to get it perfect?" And he said, like, yeah, that's the idea. Because in India, they think, like, if we make these corrections, you can, you know, like, waste paper. Very different way of seeing things, you know. He kept saying, oh, this isn't right. We have to correct this. And they go, are you sure? And I remember a devotee, because one of Guru Maharaj's themes, of course, is, you know, substance over form. Like, we're telling beauty over power, mercy over justice, heart over intellect, substance over form. There's a series, but so, and you know, saying when there's a conflict between the two, we give precedence, preference to the substance, you know. And so this one devotee, there were some, after we started Guardian Devotion Press and making these books, Srila Gurudev got inspired to revive Jai Shri Press, which was his press previously. And they got the letter press, you know, operated by, and all that. And they were gonna get some new typefaces, wondering if they should invest in that. And this one devotee there at the Mutt, thinking he would play to Guru Maharaj's sentiments, he said, well, that the form is not important. It's really the substance. You thought Guru Maharaj, yes, he is understood, right? But as we've learned so often, when you're dealing with higher Vaishnavas, they may delightfully contradict you. Gurudev was also expert at that. When people thought they knew exactly how to represent him, he'd go out of his way to contradict them, to check their ego a little bit. Anyway, that he's saying, it's the form, that's not important. What's important is the substance of the book. And he was surprised when Guru Maharaj said, no, he said, and Vrindavan, which is our target ultimately, he said, there, form and substance are one. The form, it's identical. That's the whole concept behind Swaroop. Is the Swaroop is the representation of the substance. So he said, what we're trying to do is we want the highest quality substance and, you know, presented in the most beautiful way possible. So Guru Maharaj was letting us know he appreciated the extra effort and finances involved in producing literature that was appealing, that you were happy to have, to look through. Not that, I mean, going in the other direction, before I joined, just shortly before, but I had some Prabhupada's books, but I got what we used to call the brown Bhagavatams, first canto, third volume, that were printed in India. And these books, I found one in a used bookstore in North Beach. These books, they smelt like India. You know, like you'd open the book up and think like, what is that? You know, it was like even the smell of and the paper wasn't all the same color throughout the book. They weren't always trimmed properly. The binding wasn't first class. On the pages, the letters were, the lines weren't always, you know, squared, and you know, and the printing was erratic. It wasn't, you know, but there was something that was charming about that, right? And we found, you know, charming, endearing, whatever. Still, that said, Prabhupada himself had all of those books edited, because that's where, you know, he always says the cowboys, not cowherd boys. He always said cowboys and cowgirls.
Only on the original Bhagavatams, those brown ones.
Yeah.
Sometimes it referred to the cowherd girls instead girls.
There's so many typos and stuff like that, and there's other things I can't even say. Yeah. You know, but that said, Prabhupada then had all of his team.
Another typo, said, the Supreme Lord.
Hare Krishna, don't explain that. Delete that, you know, like rewind. but anyway, then Prabhupada had his whole team, the English editor, and Hayagriva Prabhu was an English professor from Ohio State University, like good, big school, and the whole editing team, Jayadvaita Maharaj, the Sanskrit, and they corrected everything. Mm. And it reminds me of the time when Professor Sanyal, who was a scholar, who was the author of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, two volumes that Saraswati Thakur, that was like what he sent to England to start the Western preaching. And Guru Maharaj said, Saraswati Thakur planned to spend the next 10 years of his life in the West. His devotees were the advance party. He was going to go. And paying Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj one of the greatest compliments of all time. And he said, and Swami Maharaj gave him those 10 years. Like that was his gift to him. Because he himself wanted to go and preach in the West. But what was the point I was making? That, why did I say that? Oh, so Professor Sanyal, who is a scholar like at his college, the Ravenshaw College, he's what they call the head examiner. That means people who are submitting PhDs, there's a committee. So say it's a five-man committee. The head examiner, he's the leader of the five-man committee. He decides whether or not you get a PhD. If he's not on board, you don't get one, even if you got the other four people. So that's always the top-level academic who can occupy that position. So that Professor Sanyal, still, he was a fanatical follower of Saraswati Thakur. So Guru Maharaj said, once Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur, dictated something. And Guru Maharaj said, his English was not perfect. That's Guru Maharaj's. A lot of what we see or associate is Sanyal.
Correct.
You know. So anyway, so they're wondering what to do. He just dictated something that wasn't in totally correct English. And he said, like, Professor Sanyal said, then let the dictionaries and the grammars be corrected. But what Guru Maharaj said, you know. And when Guru Maharaj is telling this story, actually to the GBC, who met as a group on Prabhupada's advice, after I leave the world, when you need to consult with higher authority, consult with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, so they're all there. And Guru Maharaj is only halfway through the story, so when he tells this part, they're like, Jai, like, horrible, that's the spirit. They're all on the side. And Guru Maharaj said, like, wait, you know. And he said, then a little higher devotee came. And they're all like, he said, the little higher level devotee came and said, no, our service is to correct it and put it in the proper English. He said, because we're representing our Guru Maharaj to the public. And Guru Maharaj said, just like if it's for a photograph of the Guru, and the clothes aren't right, the garlands not proper, things are wrong. He said, then the really faithful disciple, the one who's really serving, he comes and puts the garland property, makes him look perfect for the public. We accept him in any condition as perfect, but this is going to be represented to the public. He said, so our Guru Maharaj has spoken something. If we send out to the public something that's like that, they'll get a bad impression.
Yes.
It's just like this one British.
So in this way, our Guru Maharaj will be properly represented.
But this British scholar on how to write essays and stuff, he's telling you what's the proper way to do it. And then at the end he said, and you should check your spelling. And he said, if you don't spell words properly, people will think that you're stupid. And then he said, rarely will you want to give them that impression.
Rarely.
So the fact, when people see typos, it could be a brilliant thought. They see typos, their impression goes down of the person they're hearing from. So Guru Maharaj is saying, the faithful disciples, they put it in the proper language, as Maharaj is telling, gets the punctuation right. For the concept, that has to be right. These other things could be tolerated. The concept has to be 100% correct. But then the punctuation,
It's interesting working with printers, though, because you're talking about perfection. You gave the example of Achyutananda. I was working sometimes with printers who used web presses.
Yes.
You know, and they would tell you, we won't take an order of less than 100,000 books.
Yeah.
And when they ran, you know, we were doing medium size and small size books and some big size books, running them on a web press. And when they ran, they would tell us, when they ran those presses, the first 10,000 books,
they throw away.
There'd be throwaway.
Yeah, it just kills you to hear that.
They have to adjust the cover balance.
The ink and
everything.
And you see dumpsters full of these things. And they're, one thing they do in the modern world is they recycle it all. They really do. Yeah. Printers are in the recycling modern.
So that first 10,000 would be, you know, throwaway.
That's hard to.
But these presses, they print the book, they bind the book, and it comes out even sometimes shrink-wrapped at the end of the press.
Yes.
That's the kind of, these are amazing presses. The paper's on big rolls, and it just, the things are just rolling through the press at blinding speed.
Yeah.
They're very fast. So it's interesting, the printing world. Just like you're working here with Full Dome, it's very interesting, the world of, we can say animation, the world of, you know, video production. You know, nowadays you're talking, it's on such a high level that, you know, somebody spends what? $5-10 million on a movie, it's considered very, very low budget.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The movie now coming out is $140 million.
That's previously. Now they're $250 million, some of them.
Yeah.
You know, so, but there really is some truth, you know, in the idea that, well, relates back to what you were saying about form and substance. The form is also, you know, is the substance. And there is a saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And people are very much, especially in this age, they're very much captivated by what they see before their eyes.
Yes.
You know? And it's a very powerful medium for presenting, you know, philosophy, thought, Krishna consciousness, you know, it just has that impact.
Right.
So, but it's not an easy thing to produce something that involves so many persons. So
I remember Saraswati Thakur of the day, Guru Maharaj actually gave the name for his exhibition with the dioramas. Guru Maharaj came up with the name. He said, "That's where this comes." He called it theistic exhibition. That's why we called it theistic media. But Guru Maharaj said theistic exhibition. And Saraswati Thakur is using, we can say, I mean, and not in a demeaning way, but the technology of the day, and it's very popular in Bengal, the dioramas. And you see them at Goswami Maharaj's mat, isn't it?
Yes.
Where they have them on the wall, all the different pastimes.
They have them at other months, but it's the most
extensive
presentation.
Yeah, all these different pastimes. So Saraswati Thakur, he wanted these dioramas to show, like, one of them was Krishna and the Brajagopis when they're meeting in Kurukshetra. That was one of them. But other philosophical points, things from the Gita, slokas, lila, but realizing, as Maharaj is saying, that people are visually oriented, particularly. Just to follow this point, in literature, one of their sayings in writing is, you know, show it, don't tell it. They mean, make a picture of the thing. Don't tell the people that's the board. You know, you're supposed to give them an image or a series of images that makes them understand something. And if you want to get really heady for the intellectuals out there this evening, T.S. Eliot, we're talking about the objective correlative. Look that up in your Wikipedia. But he means that you arrange words, images, etc., in such a way as to convey a particular feeling. So we've heard all along from the very beginning, what was the necessity of Mahabharata? That people find it difficult to just digest philosophy straight. But if there's philosophy in a story, and look in the Mahabharata, you can look at for yourself, but how does it begin? It's very visual and very, we all use the word seductive. From the very beginning, you're drawn into this fantastic story. Then so many stories are told. Within that, at different times, at different, points, philosophy comes out. Remember, Bhagavad Gita is within it. It's a very small section, actually, but it's within that story. So, and the stories of the Bhagavatam, but we were told from the beginning, well, why did Vyasa do that? Because he saw, the people, they are not so philosophically inclined. And I remember we were in Krishna Balaram Mandir when Sagar Maharaj was the president there, and Prabhupada was there, and he's giving this lecture one morning, his Vyasa son, and this Indian family, and they walk right in front of Prabhupada, like, here's all the devotees, here's Prabhupada. They walk right in front of him like this and go and give dandavats to the deities. And then they walk right back. And the class is going, he's there with the Bhagavatam and everything. And they might have pranamed him, but they went, and then they came back. And then they were sort of out of earshot, and Prabhupada said, he stopped his class for a minute, he said, people are not interested in philosophy. He's speaking the Bhagavatam. They walk right through. And he said, practically speaking, I started this whole movement on kirtan and prasadam. And then he went back to his talk.
I also liked when you were presenting the books from the Guardian of Devotion Press, you weren't going with the traditional style, which I would call in many ways, and archaic language,
yes. Right.
And I'm not demeaning a term. I'm not demeaning a term that was used by Srila Govindamarsh. I mean, it was chosen as the title for a book, and probably a lot of you are maybe familiar with that book. The subtitle was The Quintessence of the
Hare Krishna. Of the elixir,
the quintessence of divine elixir.
Right.
That's an archaic expression, but it has some beauty. But I went to Sagar Maharaj once, and I said to him, "This term, quintessence of the
elixir." Of immortality.
No, or quintessence of
quintessential.
Quintessence of divine elixir. Mm-hmm. I said, what does that refer to? A fifth of scotch? And he said, barbarian to me.
Because quint means five.
Yeah. And quintessence and divine elixir. Elixir would sometimes refer to liquor.
A fifth of
a fifth of scotch.
Barbarian.
Yeah, so
and Sagar Maharaj used to joke also, he'd say, Goswami Maharaj is trying to take the language of Krishna consciousness into the 21st century. And he said, I'm trying to take it into the 16th century. And I'd say, Maharaj, that's not true. I said you're trying to take it into the 18th century.
But I like that Goswami Maharaj was trying to put the books in a dignified language, but it wasn't sticking to the
formula of
Britannical
the past.
English, because we weren't living in Oxford or Cambridge. we were living in America, and language, just like many things, is a constantly evolving.
Yeah.
It's constantly evolving. Expressions that expressions change daily practically.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to understand what's the level of communication with your audience.
Yes.
And if you haven't captured that, you're reaching less people than you could be reaching.
Yes. And the other thing to understand about translations, particularly, I've mentioned this more than a few times, is that it's commonly understood in the publishing world. All translation is interpretation. So to think, you know, if something was composed in Sanskrit or Bengali, then someone, according to their ability, and we're saying sincerely, but according to their capacity and siddhantic understanding, they're giving an interpretation of what that is. That's why the books that are in English, they sound like Guru Maharaj because it's Guru Maharaj speaking English. And books that were translated from Bengali or Sanskrit to English, they don't sound like Guru Maharaj because it's an interpretation of the translator. Doesn't mean that what's there is not valuable, but it's not the same. Guru Maharaj says he was meant to preach Krishna consciousness in English. It's not something I've said or created. He said that about himself. And Gurudev once told me about, he said, because I noticed, like Srila Govinda Maharaj would suddenly let loose with a phrase like specific gravity. And I'm thinking like, and he said, I got from Guru Maharaj. And he said, Guru Maharaj had a dictionary that was like Sanskrit, Bengali, and English. So he has a very extensive English vocabulary. And he uses these words with like great precision. They're not just, like I told, Mark Twain said, what's the difference between an acceptable word and the precise word? He said, it's the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Right? A lightning bug is a little bit of a lightning bolt, you know, strikes the heart. And so Guru Maharaj, his use of the English language is precise. And we saw the effects when people would read these books, having never met him, maybe having never even seen a picture of him, they would undergo a conversion experience. They would read, particularly Sri Guru and His Grace, but Search for Sri Krishna, Sri Guru and His Grace, Golden Volcano, Loving Search, he said later, Subjective Evolution. And they would undergo a conversion experience and then want to go to be with him, get initiated by him, go to India, or like, and to this day, it's still going on. To this day, someone, they may have made different connections with different people, but if they, by His grace, they read Guru Maharaj, they can still have this sort of awakening. And they realize, oh, this isn't exactly what I was given to believe or to understand. It's still there. Guru Maharaj said, these books are only posing as passive in the form of a book or now digital media. Or said it's like a deception in a sense. He said, it's spiritually conscious substance with wanting to make itself known or be revealed through an agent. So still we're having that. And was my great happiness was when I was invited, first Gurudev brought Avadhut Maharaj and I together in the year 2000, and then told me to assist him in preaching in Russia. And I went there, and first night was in Avtozavodskaya in Moscow, and then I went to Kiev the next day, and I'm giving this program, there's like 30, 40 people there. Remember, I had been in Russia in 1978 and 79, and now it's 2000. Big change from the way I'd seen it the first time. And the first time we're there being clever, like we're on our world tour, we're yoga teachers, that kind of thing. You know, anyone who knows me knows I am not a yoga teacher. But anyway, but now I come back and I'm wondering, and you know, we're telling everything we know, but in a careful way. Now we come back, it's 2000, I say, are there any questions? And someone will raise their hand, they'll say, and Sri Guru and His Grace, Srila Sridhar Maharaj says, and then they'll ask a question about that. And I was like, almost fell out of my chair, fainted. I thought, my, you know, how things have changed. They're asking me questions based upon the books, the publications of Srila Guru Maharaj. Because when Srila Gurudev initiated and Sudha Krishna Prabhu you may have been there at that, when that initiation or around that time, but when what will be his seva, because Avadhut Maharaj is very successful in New York and America, and had no plans of returning, actually. Just think about that, all Russian devotees. He was not planning to go back to Russia, had no plans for it. That's why it's a detached thing that he did. Gurudev said, I'd like you to take, you know, Guru Maharaj's concept, his writing, and to Russia. And that's why he returned. And the rest is history. But it began with publishing the books and then disseminating them in the Russian language.
What I also like is that many persons have said, you know, that they've come in contact with devotees who were related with the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt, and not even necessarily knowing that they were coming in contact with the devotee from the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt, and they said they could instinctively appreciate a difference in the presentation from others who were preaching Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And without initially even knowing that the person was from the Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mutt.
Yes. And that happened to me with Guru Maharaj. To me, I was not initiated yet. In LA, in the kitchen, in 1971, we used to have a show called The Krishna Show. It was a radio, a public, you know, you could get on public radio, what do they call it? Public access. So we had a show called The Krishna Show, and this devotee named Siddheshwar used to do the show. So we're in the kitchen cutting up vegetables for the Sunday feast, and he's reading something. And I'm going like, and I had read Prabhupada's books of what was available several times before joining, because I had the Gita, Bhagavatam chapters, other things. I would just read them to the end, read them again. And so I was familiar, but he's saying something like, this is extraordinary. I'm here, and I was saying, wow, this Prabhu is really extraordinary in his realization. They said, no, that's not him. He's reading an article in Bhakti Godhead from Achyutananda Swami.
The descent of the holy name.
Right, but he says it's Achyutananda Swami. And I said, oh, so Achyutananda Swami, he's got some extraordinary type of... They said, well, he's a very special devotee, but actually he's meeting with Prabhupada's godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, and that's who he's reading.
Yeah.
And that happened to me. It happened to Rishabhdev. It happened to many people. So just think about, this is before we know, not that we know anything now, but we're getting a little taste of Guru Maharaj in 1971. And then as Mother Maharaj is saying, later people would read us, and I would tell them, and I still say that, you can pick up any one of these books to this day, open it on any page, and you'll see a representation of Krishna consciousness unlike anything you've seen anywhere else. But to add to that is something Guru Maharaj told me once. He said, and we're just talking privately in the afternoon, and he said, he mentioned about some god brothers and how he surpassed them in time, like joining the mission and like Ananta, this, that, and the other thing. But he said, you know, I was praising him. I said, I'm thinking of making a book of your sayings, you know, like dive deep into reality of the beautiful, and you know, he has so many of these unique sayings. But, and he said, well, like what? You know, and I said a couple. Then he said some, and, you know, like, oh, maybe. You know, like, but anyway, and then he said, my godbrothers say that I say things that were not said by the previous acharyas. And there's like a pause. And you could think like, is that good? You know, like, he said, they're not said by them. He said, but we accept them because it is in line with what has been expressed by the... In other words, they're saying, you're saying things that are original. It's another way of saying that. You're expressing Krishna consciousness in a unique and original way, and we can't deny that. Normally, if someone says something that's very different than what... it's dismissed out of hand as being suspect. They said, but in your case, you're saying things that were not said, but it's completely in line with what they're saying.
Yeah, I heard it once compared to water coming forth from very...
Oh, Gurudev. He said, three people, this, I know that. He said, there's three godbrothers. And we can say who they are. It's, you know, it's Yajavar Maharaj, Madhava Maharaj, and Guru Maharaj. And Gurudev is giving some comparison to their different preaching styles. So he said, Yajavar is like very clear, or he said for Madhava Maharaj, like very, like a waterfall, like, you know, it's, what's the word?
Cascade,
but also very, you know, like excited delivery and like that. He said, but not so clear what was being expressed. He said, Yajavar Maharaj, totally clear what's being expressed. He said, but like a pond, a little calm. Static, calm. Right? He said, but Guru Maharaj, a fountain springing from the unknown quarter, giving something fresh at every moment. That was his observation. And he knew all three of them intimately and pray and worships all three. But he said, that's Guru Maharaj.
Who spoke that?
Srila Govinda Maharaj. That was his example. He's comparing their different ways of presenting things. So Guru Maharaj said that, but they accept it because it's in line. And that's, so when we have this discussion at different times, what we worship Gaudiya Math, all of it. We worship ISKCON. Guru Maharaj also worshiped, he didn't like to hear anyone speak against ISKCON. He saw it. Swami Maharaj, like personified. Same with Gaudiya Math as Saraswati Thakur. But what, and there are many branches, and it's the will of Krishna that it branched out in so many different ways, accommodating so many different people. Oh. But what I'm saying, but what is it that makes Chaitanya Saraswat Math unique? It would be good enough if it was a generic representation of Gaudiya Math, because that's a wonderful thing in this world. But what makes the Chaitanya Saraswat Math the Chaitanya Saraswat Math as opposed to another Gaudiya Math? And what it is, this original wealth of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, these original conceptions, acknowledged not only by his disciples, who are obviously prejudiced and were fanatical about that, but by Saraswati Thakur himself. You know, Bhaktivinoda wrote this through him. He represents me fully. Even though I may leave the world, one man remains behind who got what I came to give. Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, he's my Shiksha Guru. He has deep realizations of Krishna. You know, he asked them to be the president of ISKCON. Madhava Maharaj, Srila Madhava Maharaj, Ban Maharaj, Puri Maharaj, Jajavar Maharaj, all the Madhusudan Maharaj of Gaudiya Math, Damodar Maharaj,
Keshava
Maharaj said, no, he read Prema Dama Deva Stotram and said, no one can compete with him. You know, so from his god brothers, this sort of, and that's rare, from your peers, generally considered your peers, to get that sort of recognition, that doesn't happen. Maybe from one or two, but from everyone. And that Shanta Maharaj, in his mat, the one who was over 100, every Ekadashi, he takes one sloka from Pranamami Shada Prabhupada Padam. They sang the whole song and then he takes one sloka and would explain that. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj popularizing Guru Maharaj's slokas and songs all over the Gaudiya Math.
Well, I would also say, not just Guru Maharaj,
yes,
but enhanced by one, the proper presentation of the understanding of Guru Maharaj from,
yes,
Govinda Maharaj.
Yes.
And also enhanced by his own individual realizations.
Yes, he's like Raghunath Das, and he's relishing that and adding something to it that's uniquely his.
One of the things that also made me feel like I had to go with Guru Maharaj is, I remember once I was reading Guru Maharaj's books, and at that time, it was not so, you know, politically the situation in the mission there. was that you couldn't refer to Srila Sridhar Maharaj by name.
Right. Sometimes you could mention a concept, but not attribute it to him.
So I mentioned various concepts.
Which is plagiarism.
I mentioned various concepts in the lecture that were all from Guru Maharaj's books. Yeah. And afterwards, people came up to me and said, that was so beautiful. We've never heard that before. We never heard those ideas before. Yeah. And, you know, and I felt bad because they were all Guru Maharaj's ideas. And they were expressing, this was in ISKCON, they wouldn't receive Guru Maharaj, but they were exuberant in their praise of the conceptions that mm-hmm. just, you know, I'm almost like a parrot giving them, you know, they were praising somebody. We have not heard this before. This is so wonderful. And then after that, when they said like that, I thought, well, it pains me a little bit, but I have to leave this because if the person that's most energizes them and delights them so much, you can't even mention his name. How can I be part of this?
Yeah. And add to that, it was Guru Maharaj who had the audacity and the to declare Srila Prabhupada Swamiraj as a Shaktivesh avatar. Now everybody says that and accepts it, but he's the one. No one had the audacity, I'll use that word, audacities, to say that. But Guru Maharaj did. Once he said it and expressed why, then everybody started promoting that. But that came from him and all these other things. But add to that. And as you say, with Srila Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada's pranam mantram was just the generic Gaudiya Math pranam, a little reworked for him. And it didn't include Prabhupada, right? It says, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine, and short a syllable on a line. Srila Govinda Maharaj not only improved that by saying, Prabhupada, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupada Te Namaha, so he included Prabhupada, fixed the line, and wrote three more. So with four pranams, he and the Shaktivesha Swarupine, and Hare Krishna Neti Mantrena, and he describes everything he did, in four slokas. So who's the proper disciple of even Srila Prabhupada? So many things. And at this time, Maharaj, we shall conclude. And if you would you, do you feel like singing or not? Hari Hari?
I'll try and sing.
You can try. If you can't, you can.
A little horse. But
yes.
A little horse means a pony, I guess. So I'll do it with just clapping, right?
They're going to play. You want some kartals?
No.
Usually when you have a lavalier mic, by the way.
Don't want to get.
Don't play kartals with a lavalier mic. Because it'll be.
It sounds like crumpling paper.
Well, you can't hear anything.
Okay. All right. Hariharaya Nama Krishna Jadavaya Nama.
Hariharaya Nama Krishna Jadavaya Nama.
Jadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama.
Jadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama.
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
Gopal Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudan.
Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohan.
Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohan.
Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra.
Sri Chaitanya Nityananda
Garadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Garadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raguna.
Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhakta Raguna.
Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raguna.
Sri Jiva Gopala Bhakta Dasa Raguna.
Jai Gosai Kori Charana Bandhan.
Jai Gosai Kori Charana Bandhan.
Jao Ite Vignana Shabista Puran.
Jao Ite Vignana Shabista Puran.
Hey, J. Chai Gosai Dharmui Taradas.
Chai Gosai Dharmui Taradas.
Tasabara Padarenu Mora Panchagras.
Tasabara Padarenu Mora Panchagras.
Tader Charana Sevi Bhakta Sannivas.
Tader Charana Sevi Bhakta Sannivas.
Janame Janame More Abhilash.
Janame Janame More Abhilash.
Echai Gosai Jabe Praje Koilavas.
Echai Gosai Jabe Praje Koilavas.
Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakash.
Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakash.
Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan.
Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majahi Aman.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majahi Aman.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyash.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Koriyash.
Harinam Sankirtana Koe Narottamadas.
Harinam Sankirtana Koe Narottamadas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Jai Sapadigar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharvika Giri Dhari Jiu ki jai.